The following lecture, titled Celebrating Life, was recorded Sunday, April the 12th, 1998, at the Oakland Convention Center in Oakland, California. The lecturer is Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman, and now Imam Muhammad.
As-salamu alaykum again. Peace be unto you. Peace be upon you. Really, for the Muslim, it's peace be upon you. This religion obligates us to be responsible for keeping the peace, for keeping the peace. And we want the good life, and Allah wants all of us who are sane members of the Muslim society to accept responsibility for keeping the peace, for keeping the peace. We are the people of the book, the scripture, people of the promise, pardon me, in the scripture, that they would be peace-loving and peacemakers, peace-loving people and peacemakers. So we're the people of peace. Muslim means peace. Islam means peace. Our greetings means peace. And it obligates us to keep the peace and be responsible for the peace. Life, celebrating life. It so happened that this is a time of the year when three great religions are really, in a sense, celebrating life. Eid al-Adha for us is a celebration of life, the life that Allah wants for us, that our Lord, the Creator God, wants for us. It's a celebration of life. And it's a victory for life. It celebrates the victory for life. The Hajj is contention. Hajj. Hajj means contention. Forces. Forces are meeting. Forces are coming against each other for Hajj. Forces are coming against each other. And that's life. Life is contention. The forces of life are in contention with the forces of death. And, you know, death comes in many forms, like life comes in many forms. Life comes in human form. The human form comes in many forms: emotional form, spiritual form, rational form. We have all these forms of life. Death comes in many forms, just like life comes in many forms. Death comes in emotional form. Sometimes our emotions kill us. Our emotions destroy us, and also our reasoning kills us. Our reasoning kills us. The Satan suggested a kind of reasoning to our father Adam, peace be upon him, and he was deceived by the kind of reasoning that the Satan suggested to him. So he accepted that kind of reasoning. And death took away his life. A form of death took away his life. He had the life before, and he lost it. He lost it to the death, a kind of reasoning that the Satan sold him. And we know that scripture says sin is death. Sin is death. Bad morals take away the good morals, and the good morals are life. The bad morals is the death. So death and life are in contention. Is that correct? They're in contention. And God put us here to be victorious. Allah created us to be victorious, not to be losers, not to be defeated. He put us here to be victorious. And He trusted us on the in the arena of the universe. Isn't that something? God created a little creature like me and trusted me to be in the arena of the universe and really equip me to survive and be victorious. But I just need a lot of help, that's all. I need a lot of help to survive the many forms of death that come at me. But thank God, with the help of His revelation, we can always be victorious. Because the help that we need in the revelation to even survive Satan's suggestions is right in the book, right in the revelation itself. The help we need to survive the suggestions of Satan himself. that our father fell victim to. Adam, our father, fell victim to the suggestions of the Satan. But with the Quran, we don't have to fall victim to the suggestions of the Satan. So really, God created us for life. God created us for life. To have the life. The good life. And the life, once we know it, the life is our salvation. The life itself is our salvation. Our salvation is the life that God chose for us, that God created us for. That's our salvation. The life itself is the salvation. I repeat, the life itself is the salvation. So we don't expect salvation to come to us from persons. Salvation comes to us in the life. Comes to us in the life. If we accept the life, that is the salvation. Yes. This is the Old Testament. This is the New Testament. This is Islam. Yes. If we accept the life that God created us for, that is our salvation. And the call of Islam, isn't it the call to life? It's the call to life. Hayya ala salah. That's the first thing we call we get in the morning. Supposed to get it five times a day. Hayya ala salah. And they translate it, come to prayer. But hayya means life. Hayya, the word hayya means life. And here, hayya is used as an imperative, a command, and an imperative, an order, telling us, come to life. Hayya ala salah. So actually, it's an order to accept the life, to come to the life. Where is the life, firstly? The life is in God's guidance. The life is in God's guidance. And we receive the life from God's guidance. And that life comes into us from God's guidance. And once it comes into us, it becomes our life. So actually, to start with, we are asking for life. The little baby, newborn baby that comes here, it opens its mouth and it gasps it and it breathes. It's asking for life. And then we give it the support it needs, and it begins to come into the life of a person, a human being, a person, in the human environment or the social environment with mom and daddy and the children. It comes into the human life that God wants for it. But that life can only keep us for so long without the guidance of God. The Satan is too much of a challenge for us, having only that life that the social environment enables us to come into. Because the Satan, he has a bigger influence to attract us than the social life influence. So he will come in later and take us away from that good innocent baby life, and we'll find ourselves in hell if we are not careful. He will invite us to the life that will be hell for us if we are not careful. So God has to reveal his way and reveal the life. So the call to the Muslim every day is, hayya, come alive. That's what it means. Hayya ala salah. Come alive to prayer. Come alive to prayer. Now it means wake up, be conscious, become conscious. And consciousness is the life. When a human being loses consciousness, the medical profession will say that person is dead. If they can't be brought back to consciousness, they say they are medically or clinically dead, right? They'll be clinically dead, just like a vegetable, no human life exercised there in that body. So this is the call to life, is the call to become conscious of yourself and of your obligation to God who created you. Become conscious. Now, when we come to the prayer, what are we going to be given? We think of prayer as prayer, and very few of us will have it dawn on our mind that really our prayer is the Quran. Our prayer is the whole Quran. And in the month of Ramadan, we follow the prayers, and when the month of Ramadan is finished, we have heard, recited, and followed the whole Quran in prayers. whole Quran in prayers. This is what is so special for Islamic prayer, the Muslim prayer. And by the way, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, in about 1959, I think it was, he published in an article of his, he said, there is no greater prayer form than the Muslim prayer form. That was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said. You know, some of us, we only remember what the white man, what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said about the white man. But I remember what he said about God, about prayer, about Islam, about Muslims. I remember a lot of things he said. And it, to me, it's much more important than just remembering what he said about white folks. Yes, so the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said in this article that was published in the paper New Amsterdam, I think it was Amsterdam News, a black publication, he said that there's no greater prayer form or service than the Muslim prayer form or the Muslim prayer service. He also put it out in a little prayer book. He put out a little prayer book at the time to help us learn how Muslims pray. That didn't last very long, but he did do it. He did do it, which tells us that that was one of his concerns, was to have us learn the real Muslim way. Yes, so getting back to the life now, celebrating the life. The life, then, is God's Word, isn't it? The real life that we are called to is the Quran, and the Quran is God's Word. So the real life is God's Word. We are asked to come to God's Word for the life God wants in us. Come to prayer. Hayya, living, living, alive. Come living, come alive to prayer. And what is the prayer? What's going to support that life? Salat. The salat. And what is the salat? The word of God. Hayya ala salat. Come living, come alive. Upon what? The salat. And God says, every creature that he have made, birds and all, they know their mode of salat. So this salat is a bigger... See, it takes the Islamic philosophers to really discuss these things to us and bring out the great messages for us, for our life, that are hidden in the core of these terms, hidden in the composition of these terms. It's a great message. Come to life. Come alive and come to the life. So the life is prayer. The life is our prayer. Pray five times a day. Why five? Because life is five. Life is five. Life is five. The life in community is five. It can't be ordered by six or by seven. It must be ordered by five. Because the common person must be able to understand the order of his society and be able to share responsibility for the order of his society. So the real order for ordering society is the order that respect the common five senses of man. We can't have a society based upon intuition or ordered by intuitiveness. We can't have a society based solely upon moral life or moral taste. It must be a society that respects the common rational senses of every person, male and female, young and old. And this is the way civilization have moved. Civilization have moved to respect the five senses of man. You know that some people have 6-point stars, some people have 8-point stars representing their order, their social order. We have 5-point star, and most of the nations got 5-point star, representing the social order that the people, that the citizens must uphold and live under. You see, that's the order of the common man. And there was a great American during the Revolution who said, "Give me liberty or give me death." Give me liberty or give me death. And liberty for even the intellectual is the liberation of his common sense. I heard watching television, and they were giving this lawyer a lot of attention on TV. I forget his name now, and I got it in my notes, but I didn't come out here with that today, but often I refer to this to get us to appreciate common sense. Healthy common sense, natural life common sense. He was asked, to explain what accounted for all his wins in court. And he said, well, most of my opponents, he said, they come to court with the law books. He said, I come to court with the law books and common sense. With the law books and common sense. And one of the great Americans who helped us get slavery off our backs and come to a liberating idea of what life is, of what democracy is, he wrote a book putting importance on common sense. Payne, what is his full name? Thomas Paine, Common Sense. That was what he brought to the people, common sense. And he appealed to the citizens to respect what is common sense so they could break the grip of old ideas on them and come to a more liberal society, a more liberal perception, better perception, a clear perception of what a liberal society should look like, you know, common sense. So God created us with common sense. God created us with common sense. And if we're going to be alive, we have to be alive as common sense people. We see the five senses first in their role in the biological body, in the flesh body, you know. We see with our eyes, we see visually concrete objects or objects that we can perceive with the physical sight with our eyes. That's the sense of sight. One of the great senses, the sense of sight. And we smell objects that are in the air that give off aroma or some kind of scent with our nose, the sense of smell. And we hear the sound of objects with our ears, the sense of hearing. And we taste things put in our mouth to see if it's salty or sweet or sour or bitter or whatever with our tongue. And that's the sense of taste. That's the four. And we feel things with our skin, the sense of touch. Sense of touch. So we have these five senses in the physical body. But these five senses also have counterparts in the abstract body. So perception with the eye should be associated with a higher evolution of perception. That's perception in the intellect. So we see also with the intellect, that's a higher perception. That's a higher sense. And all of these are common senses that we have by our natural creation. Our natural creation has provided us with these common senses and their counterparts in the rise or evolution of the senses. Perception in the body, physical body, is evolved to perception in the intellect. Smell in the physical body evolves to intuitiveness, intuitive power in the soul. Hearing in the ear evolves to an intuitive hearing that's above hearing with just the ear in the intellect. In the intellect. So all of these senses, even the touch, our sense of touch in the physical body evolves to moral touch, or I would say emotional touch in the abstract body. Emotional touch. We know what feels good emotionally, what feels bad emotionally, how we should respond to that feeling emotionally. This is a higher evolution. This is in the abstract body. So all of these senses are firstly in the biological body, the flesh and blood body, but they evolve. The human being is an evolving life, rising to higher planes of reality, higher planes of perception, consciousness, they say. Higher planes of consciousness. So this is the human being. This is our common inheritance. These are our common properties. Our five senses are our common properties. And you know there's a story about prayers. the number of prayers that we say, how we came to have these five prayers ordered. And the story says that Moses saw Muhammad going to God for guidance, and he told Muhammad, peace be upon the prophets, he said, I'm going to give it to you shortened in my own version of it, okay? He said, my experience tells me that you need to ask God to shorten the prayers. Because we were praying 50 and a little bit too much. So he suggested to the prophet that he ask God to shorten the prayers. So God did. God shortened the prayers to 5 instead of 50, 5 prayers. Now, I don't know if that hadith is really a sound hadith or not, you know. I don't know how much to trust that hadith, but I do trust the wisdom of that hadith. But to say I really believe the prophet said that, I can't be sure. I can't be sure that he really said that. But I do trust the wisdom of that hadith. And that what it's saying, that the leader must lead the people through and respect for their common sense. He must lead them through their common sense, communicate to them through their common sense, and lead them through their common sense, and respect for their common sense. 50 to me implies an educated perception of your common senses. That's what 50 to me implies, an educated perception of your common sense. In other words, you are intellectually conscious of your 5 senses in your body. You see, what I'm sharing with you now, what I've been sharing with you, the higher senses, how the senses graduate and how the 5 move up into higher planes of perception and reality. You see, that's okay for this discussion, but if we want to help everybody out there in the street, we better not try to have all this discussion with them. We just all of the society, so the society respects the healthy life of the 5 senses and supports and feeds the healthy life of the 5 senses. And that's what we should do, you know, and then you take care of the business. The Quran is the word of God, and the Quran feeds life on all levels. Feeds life on all levels. So the most uneducated one of us is fed amply, sufficiently, by the Quran when we hear it. And the most avid one of us for learning, for knowledge, is also fed amply, sufficiently, when they hear the Quran. It's actually always ahead of us, bigger than us, and ahead of us. The Word of God is always bigger than our minds and ahead of our minds. Those faithful students, the scholars of Quran, they accept what God has revealed, and they believe that the book is enough for us till the day of judgment. And no matter how long we human beings live on this earth, it will be supplying them with guidance, with the light, the guidance, and the way to have a life and to have it, as the Bible says, more abundantly. It calls us to Kauthar. Inna atainaka al-Kauthar. Surely we have given you abundance. Fasalli li rabbika wanhar. Therefore, pray to your God, make prayer for God, and strive hard. Strive hard. Prayer and effort. Life and effort. Isn't that what life is? Life is life and effort. No effort, you lose the life. Life and the effort. Make the firm effort for the good life. Now, to have the life, God wants us to know that He is the giver of life. God is the giver of life. The same one who gave us this biological life that we must have in order to have a presence in the world, to have the lived life, to have consciousness, and to be living in a real world. We have to have this biological flesh and blood body. the same one that provided for you a home for your first life will give you the second life. He's going to give you the second life. What is the second life? Clear vision. How to reach the destiny he created you for. He created you not just to be here, but he created you to make progress here until you get all of the good excellence of mind and spirit and beauty. Beauty! Some of us ignore beauty as a motive in our life. God wants us to get all the good life that he has created for us. And to get that, we must not just be here. We must make effort and make progress on the road. And we must increase day by day our worth to ourselves and to human society. This is growth. That's the real growth. To increase our worth to ourselves and to human society. God tells us that he created us like a plant. And when you study plants, oh, you can get so many beautiful messages, so many eye-opening messages from the life of plants. We think of a tree, you know, oh, that's nothing but a simple tree. But look, that tree does not live. Well, it's not created. Maybe it, I don't know what it lives for. I can't talk to it. But when I study it, I know that it is not existing, put it that way, for itself alone. The tree, just serving life, right? It's a life serving life with beauty, with food, with beauty, and everything is serving life. Then some trees, like many plants, they give you seeds that you can hold until spring returns and get a bigger harvest, get a bigger harvest than you got last year because of more seeds. And if you're a good farmer, a good study of the person who studied this, you will learn how to select seeds, and the life that you're using will give you the knowledge of how to even get better life than they gave you last year or 10 years ago by selection. And it ain't no complicated thing. I can give you one lesson in agriculture that you'll go to school 8 years or 10 years for, and that is selection. If you want string beans that look like the chain store, the supermarket string beans, when you plant your seeds and you get string beans, take the straight string beans, the ones that look perfect, like you want them. Save the seeds. Take the ones that's curved and not like you want, and save them separately. Next time you plant them separately, and you'll get all straight ones from the straight string beans, and you'll get all bent ones from the sickle-shaped ones from the sickle-shaped ones that you got, seeds that you collected. That's by selection. And if you get so many, after a while you say, I don't care for these sickle-shaped string beans, you can boil them in the pot and they make nice bean soup, and you'll have all nothing but straight ones growing in your yard. I know, because I've done it. My wife and children will tell you my string beans look better than the string beans they had in the Jewel's food store. Mine was best. They were the prettiest. Because I selected them myself. I selected on their best. And I attended to them, and I think God put a little green on my thumb or something. I believe I had a little help from the unseen forces, too. Yeah. Yeah, I do. Yes. So, life. God wants us to look at the whole life that he created. Plants, animals, yourself. God said there's signs in the heavens, and there are signs in the earth, and also signs in you. So look at everything for the signs of God, so that you read the messages of God in the natural created world and benefit from it. God doesn't tell us he made our life like a plant just for us to hear it and stop. God wants us to think. That's why he says, and think, for surely thinking profits you. Thinking, by thinking you will profit. P-R-O-F-I-T, profit, gain, have gain, increase, more of what you want. You know, a Jew, by the way, I'd like to throw a little humor in the case. The Jew, by the way, was sitting in a conference we had, high-level conference of religious people working for peace in the world. And they kept on talking about the prophets, Christians and few Muslims too. They kept on talking about the prophets of Scripture. So I wanted to just get a reaction from the Jewish rabbi. So I told him, aren't those your prophets they talking about? And he knew the look on my face that I was making humor, you know. I said, aren't those your prophets they're talking about? Imam Muhammad among the rabbis, he said, we often say we have given them profits and losses. So they see prophets as prophets, as profits and losses, gains and losses. Yeah, and that's right. You know, depending upon your attitude, you go in the book, you'll get nothing but losses if you got the wrong attitude. The Imam was right. They had the right attitude, right disposition, on the path of God. If you don't have the right disposition, you'll get nothing but losses. But if you got the right disposition, you'll get profits. Profits, yeah. And that's what CPC wants, profits for us. Yeah. That's our business venture. yes. So, life. It's all about life. Shouldn't we celebrate life? Are Muslims to celebrate life? I believe so. We have two Eids. Two main Eids that the Prophet left with us, peace be upon him, Muhammad. God left them in the Quran, and he left them with us. And they are the Eids of Fitr and the Eid of sacrifice, Abraham's sacrifice. Now you think about this. One is called Eid al-Fitr, and when you look at the word Fitr, Fitr means original life or original nature. Celebrating original life or original nature. That's what Eid al-Fitr is. Eid al-Adha, Eid al-Adha is a celebration of the brighter life. Adha means more brighter. You just left. One Eid is only 3 months behind you. Now here comes another Eid that follows it. And it is called Eid al-Adha. Adha means more brighter. Brighter. Brighter in what respect? In every respect. Not just brighter in the sense of more enlightened. And it is. It represents more enlightenment. It really represents the enlightenment. The first is the life. The second is the enlightenment. The correct life and then enlightenment. So Al-Adha is the life of enlightenment. And it is also the life of more joy and pleasure. Yes, more joy and pleasure. Brightness means happiness too. Happiness. When my life is bright, That suggests that I'm pleased, I'm happy, I'm not sad. When my life is dark or dull, it suggests that my life is not happy, not pleased, not I'm sad, downhearted, so to speak. So it is, Adha means the first one was bright. The first one was bright. Now here comes the second one, that's Adha. It implies that the first one was bright. This one's brighter. So the Eid of al-Fitr is bright, but the Eid of al-Adha is brighter. Why? Because one is the natural life in its excellence. The second one is the intellect in its excellence. I need to make some more connections for you all. All right. Thank you. Praise be to Allah. Praise be to God. Yes. So this is the two. So the first celebrates life. Our first Eid is a celebration of life. Celebrating the life of restraint, the life of discipline of the appetites. We discipline the appetites. We restrain the appetites for God's pleasure. So no thing that God forbid to come into this body comes in there. This body does not live for itself, it lives for God. So darling, you feel sexy? No. The sun is still up. You have to wait. Now, usually it's the other way around. The darling is a man, a male. Darling, you sexy? No, sweetie. You have to wait. The sun is up. Yes. So, when we finish the 30 days, 29 or 30 days of the fast month, and new moon appears telling us the month is ended, there's a celebration. And we're celebrating the life. The victory of the life of discipline that disciplined itself for God's pleasure. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes,
and then here comes the Eid al-Adha, and we do the 10 days of Hajj in contention. Life in contention. Life struggling against the forces that bring death. Moral death, spiritual death, mental death, ignorance, etc. Not just physical death. And we are victorious. We have completed the Hajj. We are victorious. Come down from the month of Arafat. Come down from the month of Arafat, celebrating the praise of God, lifting our voices, glorifying Him with our tongues and our spirit and our expressions. Huh? Going down from the mountain to the sacrifice of Abraham the next day. Isn't that beautiful? Yes. And we go down from the mountain to the sacrifice of Abraham the next day on the 10th. And the prophet said, "And be aware of five, before five be your failure. Be aware of five. Take charge of five, before five undo you. Be your undoing. Five what? Five senses." Again, returning to the common man's protection, common person's protection, our five senses. "Be aware of five, before five be your undoing." I mean, be aware of what your eyes look at, what your ears open up to, what your nose sniff, what your tongue looks out for, huh? What your hands want to touch. Be aware. Be aware of five on the high plane that God guides you to before these five in the gross body be your undoing. Praise be to Allah. The prophet, you know, the prophet put it in other words. He says, plan for the day, plan for sickness while you're healthy. Ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So the prophet gave us to it in a lesson like that. But I think what I've said, it says the same thing. It says the same thing. yes. So, Islam is not only spirit, but also knowledge for guidance. Knowledge for guiding the life on the path of God. On the path of God. So Islam wants us to be conscious followers of the way. Conscious followers of the way. We must follow the way, the path, consciously. We can't accept to be following the way under the Spirit. There's no Holy Ghost sermon, Holy Ghost arousing sermon in Islam to get you to be unconscious, but in the grip of the Spirit, so that the Spirit can hold you from the world. No, that's not Islam. That's not the path of Islam. The path of Islam is to awaken your mental awareness, your mental awareness, to awaken your mind and then guide your mind with the knowledge that your body is asking for. Your body, God created it, and it's asking for protection, it's asking for guidance, it's asking for the life. And Islam wants your mind to wake up to the need to be fed by the food that God gives in the Word. The Word of God feeds us and gives us the life that we need. This is the beauty, and we celebrate the life. So the revelation that God gave Abraham, our second father, was a revelation to bring us education, enlightenment, so that we would be an educated society, an enlightened society, and get all the benefits of God's creation, science, technology, and everything. That's what God created us for. So this progress that we have seen on this earth for enlightened and industrial societies is what God created us for. So don't just think of prayer as something from God, and think of fasting in the month of Ramadan, that's from God. Eating after the fast is also from God. And riding on more than just the spirit, riding on a boat or airplane of 747, that's also from God. Yes, all of it's from God. He created the earth and you to have this great meeting. Yes, the intellect and the life in us embraces the creation, and the creation opens up to us. See, and he created all of this to be our tilt, huh? To be our tilt, for us to engage it, plow it. And Samson say, you wouldn't have got this from me if you hadn't plowed my heifer. He wants us to engage it, to plow it. It's our tilt, the whole physical environment that he created. And just like we engage a female in lawful marriage, a lawful bonding, God has approved of this. We are husband and wife. If we would have the same sacred respect for the relationship Allah wants us to have with this external world we call the material existence, we can have good products from this external world, and many of them that will give us pleasures, just like the beautiful, good, obedient children give us pleasures at home. When we look at them, we look at wife sometime, we want to kiss her again. We just got through kissing, and we thought we had kissed her enough, and we thought we were satisfied. But we look at the children, and we're, girl, come here, let me kiss you again. Beautiful children, healthy-minded children, obedient children. We can have the same relationship with the material world. Celebrate life. Peace. Assalamu alaikum.
For more on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman, call 1-708-201-9692. All right, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For WDM Publications, call 1-708-862-7733. All right, Post Office Box 1944, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.